Lord's house tonight. We're happy you're one of our number, and if we have some visitors tonight, you're very, very welcome in the Savior's name, and we don't want to forget those viewing our service tonight over the internet. You're very, very welcome in the Savior's name. I want to thank our brother James for leading the service for us tonight and bringing us that reading from John 17. Let me remind you, please, of a couple of important announcements before we come to the message tonight. And right after our service this evening, we will be having a time of fellowship downstairs in the basement and some light refreshments. Everyone is welcome to join with us there for that time. Brother George Robinson and Roger Valenciano are down in Fredericton over this weekend, and they'll be finished up their services now and doing some visiting of all the people tomorrow. And so do remember them as they'll be flying home. I believe it will be Monday evening or else first thing Tuesday morning. Please remember in prayer Lillian Vogan. She has been back in hospital again for a couple of weeks, and they're trying to get medication stabilized for her. And so please remember this dear saint in prayer. And also, Azarina and Olafemi, we have been praying for them. Azarina has not been well at all. She has had pneumonia, and she's been very, very sick. And of course, it's difficult being in a new country and not having transportation to be able to get around easily. And so we want to pray for them and remember this young couple before God in prayer. This coming Wednesday night at our prayer time at 7:25, we will be having a family prayer time. Encourage everyone to be in attendance. And we will be dividing up between the men and the women on Wednesday night. And the focus of our prayer, we want to think about our youth as they're going away this coming weekend for their winter time away, and Reverend Armin Tomassian will be here. He'll be coming from Calgary to preach to the young people and to be with them. And then next Lord's Day, he'll be preaching here in the evening service, and Brother Sterrett in the morning. I'll be traveling on Thursday to Phoenix to be with the congregation there for their 30th anniversary. And so I would ask for your prayers for safety and travel, and also the Lord would bless us. They're having on Friday evening the special dinner celebration, and I have to speak at that, and then also both times on the Lord's Day. So those are important things, please, I would ask you to remember very much in prayer. Those are all the announcements that we have to leave with you tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Book of 1 Peter chapter 2. This portion Reverend Sterrett read to us this morning in our time. And I want to read again the first verses from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We'll end our reading there at that verse, and please ask you just to bow now before the Lord in prayer. Our loving Father, as we come now before thy holy word, I stand in need of the power and help of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we come to ask tonight for that unction from heaven that is so absolutely necessary as the scriptures are open. Because, Lord, the people who are here tonight need a word from thyself. Lord, I need that word to my own heart this evening, and I pray that this scripture will be so fastened upon my own mind that I will know the power of the Holy Spirit to communicate the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that, Lord, this will not be a word and a message that falls upon deaf ears, but rather we would have our ears digged out, and this word would go right down to our hearts. Help us, we pray, to mix the word with faith. Lord, we don't just say those words, but I pray that they will be very meaningful to each soul here, for every believer. Oh God, we sometimes say it and we would repeat it again. We don't want to go through the motions of church. We do not want to play games here. We need, oh God, for a clarity and understanding. We need the Holy Spirit to help us, to direct us in our thinking and our way. So often, Lord, we confess our thinking is skewed, and our thinking is so influenced by the world, so influenced by the things of this present time. And dear Lord, I pray that our thinking and our thoughts would be elevated by the Holy Spirit, and that we would have all of our thinking filtered through the Scripture so that we will know how to think correctly. Because Lord, if we are thinking according to the Scripture, then we will be thinking right. But so often, Lord, we confess our sin and our waywardness because our thinking can be all messed up. Lord, I pray that we will see to the very great responsibilities that we have as your people. We will not walk in carnality, will not walk in the lust of our flesh, will not walk in foolishness. Rather, dear Father, we will walk in the light as you are in the light. We will walk in truth. We will walk as the Savior prayed in John 17. We will not be in the world, or we will be in the world, but not of the world. Oh God, help us, we pray. We are so feeble, Lord. We're so prone to wander. We are like silly sheep that wander off and do not know our way back. Oh Lord, help us, we pray, and make us a different people. I ask that we would be filled with the power of God to be able to live. We think, Lord, of how we're rebuked by the faith of Moses, and how he lived his life, and how he walked in communion and fellowship with God. He saw, Lord, he saw the invisible God. And his whole life was denominated by that truth. And he lived what he believed. Help us, Lord, I pray today, to live what we say we believe, and to be seen as those who are different, those who are set apart from the things of this present evil world. Lord, give us, we pray, the power to be able to witness and share our faith with others. Help us, we pray, to live our life so that they will look upon us, the world, and say, we have been with Jesus. There's something different about that man, that woman, that young person. They're not the same. And Lord, I pray that we will know this power in our lives. Dear Lord, please forgive us for all our sin. Let there be no blockage. And the blessing being poured out, we know that if we regard iniquity in our heart, our prayers will not be heard. Therefore, O God, cleanse us tonight. Cleanse my heart tonight, I pray. Make us a pure people. Oh, Lord, we're sometimes troubled by that verse. Be ye holy as I am holy. Troubled by it, Lord, because it is such a high standard. How can we be holy as God in heaven is holy? Lord, of ourselves, it's impossible. We are not able for it. We're thankful, Lord, tonight for the indwelling Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit that will enable us to do what we cannot do of the flesh, for the arm of flesh is weak. Lord, we stand tonight in need. Do a reviving work among us, we pray. Awaken us from our coldness and deadness of heart. Take away lethargy and apathy and all the things, Lord, that so cripple us from going on with God and doing something that is right and better. Lord, we need you to come and help us tonight. We thank Father again for any in our meeting who are not converted, not saved. They have never tasted that the Lord is good. Well, Lord, bring them tonight to the very place where they call out to the Lord, what must I do to be saved? Lord, give to unbelievers tonight, I pray, a broken heart, a contrite heart. Dear Father, we stand this night in need. And so I pray that we will know the continued presence of the Holy Spirit, the instruction that we so stand in need of, that reviving soul and heart, the burning off of the chaff of the things of the world. And Lord, draw us nearer to the Savior's side, that we will walk in sweet fellowship with Him moment by moment. Lord, hear this, our prayer tonight, and give us understanding, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle is dealing here with a very notable passage in the Old Testament, and the notable passage that is a very strong link between how God referred to His Old Testament church and the people there. And He referred to them as a holy nation. He referred to them as a people who were peculiar, who were set apart. The word peculiar means the word that they were a possessed people, possessed by the Lord. And so as He referred to His Old Testament people in that way, so Peter now makes reference to this as we come into the New Testament. And we find it in two places in chapter 2, within a couple of verses actually. First of all in verse 5, and then also down in verse 9. First of all in verse 5, he says, ye also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. And the first thing that he is getting at here is to make a comparison and a parallel between the Old Testament, which was material, and the New Testament illustration, which is spiritual. And the temple in the Old Testament and the tabernacle, they were material things that could be seen, and each of them had types and shadows that all applied to God, to Christ, to His work, to His people, to His church. And so here we are thinking also about the temple in the Old Testament that was built with real physical stones, but the church of Christ is not a physical entity, it is a spiritual one. And the building up of the spiritual house is made up of born-again believers. And we are called living stones. And so each one of us, saved by the grace of God, are being built up in this great spiritual house. And as we are part of that spiritual house, we all have a function, a purpose, something that we are to accomplish. And I want to think about this tonight in our message, about the spiritual responsibilities that you have as a Christian, that I have as a believer, and how are we fulfilling those spiritual duties? Are we taking them seriously? Or are we neglecting them? Are we holding them close by the commandment of God, or are we shirking them and saying, well, someone else can do it. It's not so important if I do. Ah, friend, that is not what the Lord wants of His people. He calls upon us as His spiritual children, and we are called to fulfill the calling, the responsibilities, the duties that we have that He has set aside for us. But it's not just found in verse 5. In verse 9, we also have a continuation of the thought. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. The references here to the priests in the Old Testament and the people of God are most significant, because the priests had a very specific responsibility. They had a job and a task that they were to do. And you and I are referred to in these passages here as royal priests, part of the royal priesthood of God. Remember, we're thinking about the spiritual responsibilities that we have and being built up in the body of Christ, each one of us as living stones set in order by the purpose of the Holy Spirit and being brought into Christ. We have a responsibility and the duty. And of course, the priest's duty in the Old Testament, it was really threefold. The priest was responsible for praising God. He was responsible for preaching the message of God, and he was responsible for praying. And I know that sometimes these duties overlapped also to the prophets in the Old Testament, but as we're thinking about the spiritual priesthood of all believers, these duties were very, very important. Of praising, of preaching, and of praying. And so as we think about that from an Old Testament perspective and the responsibilities, and we bring that into the New Testament, that same principle and those three apply to you and I tonight. We are to be before God as His priests. In fact, this was such an important doctrine that it was brought to the forefront again from the Protestant Reformation, of the priesthood of all believers. Through the Middle and Dark Ages, the Church of Rome had great power and authority, and they kept the Word of God out of the hands of the common man, and it was only going to be interpreted through the priesthood. But as the Lord brought the light through the Reformation, and especially Luther, who brought that to the forefront, he really promoted this idea and the biblical idea that every single saved person brought into the building of God as children of the Lord, we are priests unto God. And where did this thought come from? Well, clearly it's taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, the royal priesthood that we are. And in the book of Revelation, when we are referred to as kings and priests unto God, we are royalty and we are royal priests. And the purpose of the priest is to praise God, to speak His word, to preach His truth, and to be involved in prayer. Believer, do you consider yourself a priest unto God tonight? How do you look at the responsibilities that are set before us here? Are you prepared to leave it for someone else to do? Are you thinking perhaps, well, I'm not worthy of these things? Put that thought out of your mind. You are never worthy of yourself from beginning to end, but we are made worthy in Christ. And because we are made worthy in Him, we therefore have these great and precious privileges, the duties, but they come to us by God Himself. And because the Lord has granted us these blessed responsibilities, let us never say, I cannot do this, I'm not able for that. No, friend. We are called, chosen, and faithful. And let us never underestimate or demean the position that the Lord has laid upon us as His children. We are His children. We are children of the God of heaven, of the King of kings and Lord of lords. And therefore, we need to take and know our standing accurately, correctly, and to take it with all our heart. Now, when we think about the responsibility of praise, the Old Testament Levites, the priests, they were set aside, and there was a section of them that had the sole duty of giving praise to God in the temple or in the tabernacle. And as they were going to offer their praise to God, what do you think that they were going to give to the Lord? They were directed very specifically to the subject matter, to the substance that they were to do, and also they looked upon their duty very solemnly. So when we think about the subject matter of giving praise unto God as priests unto Him, and we bring that into the context today, the subject matter is the great God of heaven. And I'm thankful, as our brother James emphasized that tonight, that reference to the Holy Father and the holiness of God, because He is the great subject matter that we are to come to in our worship. We are to think magnificently of the Lord. I was reading in this book some sermons by a man called Alexander White. He was from Scotland. And this particular one, he is dealing with a royal priesthood, and taken from 1 Peter 2 and 9. He said, let us magnify its magnificent opportunities, its momentous duties, and its incalculable and everlasting rewards. For our office is the royal priesthood. To be kings and priests unto God, what a magnificent office is that! And so here this man, he is setting forward that the office that you and I possess as believers, this office is a mighty one. It is a very prominent and important one. And friends, as we are coming to praise God and the subject matter of the God of heaven, let us magnify the office He has given us, because the Lord is great to be magnified. He is worthy of all our praise. Are you not guilty sometimes, friends, of low thoughts of God? I know that I am, and I lament over that. And you might say, well, how do I correct this idea or problem of having low thoughts of God? Because the more you commune with the world and the more you're involved in the things of the world and your mind is so consumed with those things, well, there's less and less tendency for us to think great thoughts of the Lord. But my friends, we are to magnify the Lord. We are to exalt His name. And the only way that we will properly magnify the Lord and fill our hearts with His greatness is to dwell much upon His Word and to find from the Scripture itself these things that so exemplify the greatness of the God whom we serve and worship. And so, my friend, in our praise, the subject matter is the Lord Himself and the greatness of the God with whom we have to do. Dr. McClellan would often say about people thinking they're going to keep God in their pocket, and they bring Him out on Sunday and look at Him and they put Him back in their pocket again for another week. Are we guilty of doing something similar to that? Well, you might say, oh, not me. I'm not going to do that. I try to exalt the Lord. And yet, friend, by the way we live our life at times, we are doing more by our actions than by our words. And I believe we need to ask the Lord to help us in this matter. Help us, O God, as we have the responsibility as priests unto God to be those who are praising His name. We want to come with this subject matter that is the greatest of all possible subject matters, to exalt our Lord and Savior and to magnify His name and say, Lord, in me, in my life, in how I live, in how I speak, in how I think, in how I act, may Thy holy name be magnified. But when we think also of the substance of our praise, well, we are going to find the substance of our praise not from our own philosophies, not from our own thinking. We're going to find the substance of our praise right in the same place that we're going to magnify the subject itself, and that's from the Lord's own Word. The Psalms have been given to us in the Scripture, and we love to sing the Psalms because we are singing as much as we can the very Scriptures itself. But in our denomination, we don't limit ourselves to singing the Psalms only. But what we do is we try to find hymns and songs of praise that take the kernel of the truth of Scripture and put that into a proper expressions of our praise. And the best worship that you and I can give is worship that's going to find its substance, its substrata, the foundation of it, taken from the very doctrines of the Holy Scripture. And the more you and I endeavor to do that and steer away from that which is lighter and perhaps more frothy and with less substance to it, and endeavor to say, we want to worship God with the best that we can. We want to worship God with the substance of the Holy Scripture, because that honors the Lord. And the more you and I, believer, will focus on that part, our praise will be acceptable unto Him. So the subject matter is the Lord Himself and the Christ of God, and the substance is taken from the Scripture. And I think too of the solemnity of our worship. The Lord has told us that we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And as we take that phrase from the Scripture and we bring to the Lord the praise from our hearts that is a solemn expression of the holiness of God, and we bring that unto God as we are His servants to offer the sacrifice of our praise, we do it, Lord, in the name of Christ and by the power of His Spirit. And we do it with all our hearts. And we say, Lord, let this not be, or let it not even have the slightest indication of the praise of men. Let it be so distant from that as we stand to sing and praise and worship the Lord. Let our minds and our hearts be so filled with Him that it will be a solemn expression of our praise. Sometimes we have to admit that we are far from that. And I think it's insulting to the Lord. We come into church, the beginning of a service, and we announce a hymn, and you either turn in your hymnal or you look on the screen to find the words, and yet maybe you have to admit, as I know I do, maybe my heart is not exactly engaged the way it should be. Maybe my mind has not really come in to settle down yet, and other things are buzzing through, and other distractions, and maybe something went wrong before you came into the service. Could be 101 things. When you think about it, we come into the holy presence of God, into the solemnity of worshiping the God of heaven, and where are we? My minds are not there. My hearts aren't really there. And yet, believer, God has called us for the purpose of the praise of His holy name. And I think it takes preparation. It takes solemn reflection. And it's a good thing for us to do. Because as we want to worship the Lord with the right substance and the right subject matter, and we want to give Him the solemn praise from our heart, we want to do all those things, but yet inside our hearts, maybe we are cold, or maybe we're distant, and maybe we can stand and sing and go through the motions of it, but our hearts are not there. The Lord was very direct with His Old Testament people when He said, "This people draw near to Me with their lips, and they offer the praise from their lips, but their hearts are far from Me." Oh, God forbid that that should be our case. And believer, you and I must see to this responsibility very carefully, I believe, and come to the Lord and say, "Oh God, prepare my soul for holy worship. Prepare my soul for the solemnity that we are engaged in." And you see, the more that our thoughts are magnificently elevated toward the holiness of God, the more we are going to be ready. And even though we still find the limitations and we still find distractions, yet still we pray, "Lord, keep my focus. Let my praise be to the honor and to the glory of the One who has loved me and has given me everlasting life." So we are thinking tonight about the spiritual responsibilities we have as Christians. And we are a royal priesthood. We are living stones built up in the spiritual house that God is building through Christ. And one of the responsibilities we have is praising Him. The second one is the responsibility of preaching. Well, when you think about preaching, you're not preaching tonight. You're listening. And you might say, "Well, I'm not a preacher. And I've never preached a sermon in my life." Wrong. You are preaching a sermon every day of your life. Oh yes. We are living sermons. We are all living letters known and read of all men. And so the question is, what is the substance and subject of the sermon of your life every day? That's what we are called to do. We are called to be preachers of the Word. And we know that in the mechanical sense and in the practical ways, there are some who are selected by the Lord for that specific purpose, as we are doing here tonight. But friends, let us not forget that all of us are engaged in this most vital work of proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we cannot escape that. We cannot get away from it. And oh, if our testimony is so that we have marked the mirror of our life and we're not reflecting the Lord quite the way we should, then believer, let us come back and say, "Oh God, I want to be a faithful representative of God to men. Because that's really what the preacher is doing. Because that's what the Old Testament priest was doing when he was coming to the people with the message directly from heaven, and now he's relaying it to the people. So he's God's spokesman. And all of us are laborers together with God. We are his spokesmen and women. And so as God wants to use us as his communicators, what message are we communicating? Are we preaching the unsearchable riches of the Lord? Are we standing to this great responsibility and task that he's called us to? You say to me, I'm not worthy for this. I can't do it. Why can't you do it? You say, well, I'm not qualified. What makes you think you're not qualified? God has saved you. His Spirit lives within you. Your life is to be lived in front of people as a living testimony. Yes, in all those points, you are qualified. And by the power of the Holy Ghost living in you, let every day, let every moment, let every word, let every action be a testimony to preach Christ and Him crucified. And so that people will look on your life and they will say, please direct me to your Savior. Because they will sense the fragrance of Christ about your life. And they will see it in your countenance. They will see by the very words and life that you live. Oh, friends, all these things are so, so important for us tonight. The preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ. That verse is taken from Ephesians 3 and verse 8. And personally to me, it's a very precious verse because it's the verse that God called me into the gospel ministry. And as He, on that day, on October the 4th, 1986, He called me into the ministry of the gospel of preaching specifically, and that was the very subject matter. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And friend, what a subject matter that is. It is inexhaustible. And so when you want preaching material, it is inexhaustible to think about the presentation of the Son of God. And our praise and our preaching, it is to be for the honor of His holy name. Oh, but then, believer, there is the responsibility of prayer. And so if preaching is representing God to men, what is prayer? Prayer is representing men before God. And that's a great duty that we have as God's priests. And He calls us to the ministry of prayer. And this is something that every Christian can do. Because the Holy Spirit that lives within us draws us out in prayer. And men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall fill your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The ministry of prayer that we have as God's priest is a vital one. It is a very high office. And believer, think again about this huge privilege and responsibility that God has called us to come into His presence and to speak to Him on behalf of ourselves and of others. And it is the most selfless thing that we could do is to wait before our God and Father on account of other people. This privilege is one that we would do well to take very, very seriously, believer, because this is a vital priestly duty. As we read in John 17 tonight, and I did not know Brother James was going to read that portion, but It so presents to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And as He is communing with His Father in heaven, so you and I, as we study His prayers, we are brought into the school of prayer. And as His disciples in Luke 11:1 said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught His disciples to pray. There was a genuine and earnest desire in the hearts of God's people to be taught how to pray. And as the disciples prayed that prayer, Jesus then spoke to them the words of the Lord's Prayer. And that pattern, as you study through it, would be very important for us as God's people to follow that pattern of seeking Him and of calling upon the Lord for the things that we have need of. And then to think too, believer, that Christ is ever living to make intercession for us. His high priestly work continues on. And it's that aspect of His high priestly work that continues in heaven. He is praying for us tonight. And we are to be praying unto Him on the behalf of others. So, how is your prayer ministry on account of others? How is your priestly duty of seeking God on account of others? This is not easy, you know. When people are first saved, they think, well, prayer is kind of natural. It's easy, not much to it. You just get down before God and you begin to pray. Oh, I tell you something. As soon as you come to the Lord and you begin to learn about praying, you learn that there's a devil as well. Because he wants to resist the child of God as we come into God's presence. Why? Because Satan knows. He knows the power that God unleashes at the request of His people as we come to Him. Believer, we will not fully grasp this, I don't believe, until eternity. What power has been at our hands, and how perhaps we have wasted the opportunities that the Lord has given to us. Let us think again of the great value that there is for the child of God in prayer. This man, Alexander White, actually in a sermon that he was speaking on from that text in 1 Peter 2:9, also he included Luke 11:1. But he writes this section, and I read it to you tonight. It's about a man who is alone with God. Listen to what he says. If you saw him on his knees, you would see a sight. Look, he is in the audience chamber. Look, he is in the council chamber now. He has a seat set for him among the peers. He is set down among the nobility of the empires. The king will not put on his signet ring to seal a command till your friend has been heard. Command me, the king says to him. Ask me, he says, for the things of my sons. Command me the things concerning them. And as if that were not enough, that man, all prayer, is still on his knees. He is wrestling on his knees. There is no enemy there that I can see. There is nothing and no one that I can see or hear near him. And yet he wrestles like a mighty man. What is he doing with such a struggle? Doing? Do you not know what he is doing? He is moving heaven and earth. The man is removing mountains. He is casting the mountains and that into the midst of the sea. He is casting down thrones. He is smiting empires of time to pieces. Yes, he is wrestling indeed, for he is wrestling now with God and now with man, not with death. And now he is wrestling with hell. And see, as the day breaks, see the kingdom of God begins to come in on the earth. What a spot is this? And then he goes on to say, can you trust him with God? Will he speak about you when he is in audience? And what will he say? Has he anything against you? Has he anything on your conscience or in your heart against him? Then I would not be you for all the world. He goes on to talk about that man and the presence of the Lord. Believer tonight, the power that is available to us before the throne of grace is a great and a mighty privilege and opportunity. And I say to you tonight, as we are God's priests, as we come to praise Him, as we come to preach Him, and as we come to pray to Him, let us do that tonight with all our hearts. Because God will hear and answer our prayers. The Lord will come to our aid. And believer, if you are calling on the Lord for blessing upon this fellowship, upon this congregation, that He will not only bless this place and bless this people, but He will make you a blessing in this place, you will see Him do mighty things in your own life and mighty things here. This is not a work of men. This is not a work that can be maintained or sustained by human ingenuity or organization or planning. This is God's work. And it will only go forward in God's method and God's way. And so as we are called to seek Him tonight, as we are called to be His priests, let us do so with all our hearts and pray that Christ Jesus will be magnified, whether it be by our life or by our death. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our service is just about closed now. My message has been to Christians, but there may be someone here tonight and you're not a believer. And I say to you, don't leave this building without calling on the Lord to be your Savior. His ears, His arms, His heart is open to you tonight. Friend, don't let family or friends or any other thing cause you to delay, but come to Him now tonight and put your faith and your trust in the Savior of your soul. For He died on the cross and shed His own precious blood that you might know that you have eternal life. Father, take these words tonight, we pray, and use them for a blessing upon all our hearts. Please help us to be better. Help us, O God, to be changed. Help us, we ask, to be more conformed to our Lord Jesus. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us as we go downstairs for a time of fellowship. Receive our thanks, we ask, for the good things that have been provided to us. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.